Good evening. My name is Charleston Ignatius Parker III. You can call me Chip, and I'd like to welcome you to our Christmas program, Born to Die. I'm sure that this time of year brings back a lot of warm memories for all of us, but it holds special meaning for me. You see, some of the most important events of my life have taken place on Christmas Eve. Our small town had a lot of holiday traditions. For instance, our church, we always had a Christmas Eve service, and it was always announced with seven peals from the large bell in the steeple. Since it only rang at Christmas time, everyone called it the Christmas bell. When I was 10 years old, I remember talking to my father the evening of the Christmas program.
Hey, Dad, can I have some money? I have to get all my Christmas shopping done this afternoon.
Sure, Chip. How much do you need?
Let's see. I need quite a bit, Dad. Our class is having a contest for who can have the best Christmas list, and I got the prize for the longest.
That's good, son. Could I see this prize winning list?
Sure, Dad. You'll be proud of me.
Son, who is Napoleon?
You know, Dad. Napoleon's one of Napoleon's Joey's dog, and he's one of my most loyal friends, too.
But, Chip, do you have any idea how much a rhinestone collar costs? Son, I'm afraid you're going to have to cut this list down a little. Besides, you've left your best friend out.
No, I haven't. There's Joey's name right there.
I wasn't talking about Joey. I was talking about the friend who loved you so much that he gave his life for you.
Oh, Dad, nobody buys presents for Jesus.
After I changed my list around and dropped quite a few names, Dad finally gave me some money to go buy some presents. Later that evening, as I left the supper table, I made another announcement to Mom and Dad.
Mom, Dad, I won't be able to go to the Christmas Eve program tonight.
Oh, really? Why not, son?
I just have too much business to take care of.
Exactly what kind of business are you talking about?
Let's see. I have to wrap all the presents I got this afternoon, and somebody has to finish the popcorn string on the tree. Oh, yes, and Joey's big sister's taking Joey and me to go see Santa Claus. He's giving out candy canes for free.
Now, Chip, you know we always go to the Christmas Eve service as a family. You haven't missed one since you were born.
I think you better plan on going tonight, son. By the way, don't you have a part in the program?
Not really, Dad. I just stand by the manger with all the other angels. Besides, they don't really need me anyways. And nobody's going to think I'm a real angel anyways. And I have to take care of all my business.
It was an awfully long, quiet ride to the church service that evening. In fact, I didn't say a word until we got into the dressing room and Mom got a little careless pinning on my angel costume.
Beginning to think angels couldn't talk.
Very funny, Mom.
Now listen, Chip, as soon as the Christmas bell is rung seven times, you walk out on the platform flapping your wings.
Do I have to do this?
It's too late to back out now.
But Joey doesn't have to be in the program. And besides, nobody's going to think I'm a real angel anyways. And these wings don't even fit.
It doesn't matter if one wing's a little lower than the other. There's the Christmas bell. We've got to hurry. Charleston Ignatius Parker III, leave your halo alone. Now please just act like an angel for 15 minutes. Then you can go back to being yourself again.
That was my first Christmas program, and I thought I did pretty well. However, Mom was a little upset because as I flew onto the platform, I accidentally poked the pastor in the eye with the angel wing. Honestly, I didn't see him. And then when the manger scene started, I got the hiccups, and my halo kept falling down around my neck. But as the choir started their part of the program, the mood of the service changed. And I really felt like I was standing by that manger in Bethlehem so long ago, looking into the face of baby Jesus.
The Lord shall give a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child divine for all men to receive. This is the Christmas story. The King of Glory was Son of God on earth. He left his Father's throne, descended from above. He came unto His love. This is the Christmas story. Though Mary's son by birth, Jesus, the King of Glory, was Son of God on earth. Son of God on earth, was Son of God on earth.
Well, you've got to watch out for those angel wings. They can be pretty sharp. As your pastor, I want to welcome you to our Christmas program this evening. The title of our program is Born to Die. It is amazing to me how fast 1975 has flown by. As we look at the idea of why would the Creator of the universe leave heaven and come to dwell among men, we go to the Bible, we find that there are really two answers for that. The first is this. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And Jesus at 12 years old in Luke 2:49, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" See, Jesus came down. He didn't come down for himself. He didn't come down because of what he wanted to do. He looked at it and said, "I want to do the will of my Father. I want to do my Father's business." The second reason that Jesus came was to die for all mankind. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. See, Jesus left heaven in order that he would be the substitute for each of us to pay for our sins. He was born to die. John 15, 13 concludes with this fact, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus came to do his Father's business, and he came to lay down his life for each and every one of us.
By the time the choir finished singing the rest of their songs, there was one little angel's eyes that were full of tears. And as soon as we got to the car,
"Mom, Dad, when I was staying by the manger, I felt like Jesus was a real person. Do you think he was born to die for me?"
"Why, yes, Chip. Jesus died so that you could be born into God's family."
"Really?"
"Yes, son. And not only does he want you to be born again, he wants you to die too."
"He wants me to die?"
"Paul the Apostle said that he died every day."
"How do you do that?"
"Paul wasn't talking about physical death, Chip. He was talking about giving up everything that he wanted to do and letting God have control of his life daily."
"Chip, do you remember remember the last song the choir sang tonight, Born to Die?
I think so, Mom.
Well, the last stanza of that song says, Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore. As I follow the path to Calvary, of thy death I partake. My ambition I forsake. All my will I surrender to thee. Chip, wouldn't you like that to be your testimony?
I guess so, Mom, but let me think about it a while. I have an awful lot of business on my own, you know.
As I got into my teenage years, I just didn't feel as close to Mom and Dad anymore. They kept talking to me about being born again and dying to self. And then when I was 16, my best friend Joey ran away from home. A few months later, he started to write to me.
Lots of money and spending it the way I want to. And you should see my big, beautiful house. You'd be impressed. I sure do feel sorry for you. Well, I've got to go now. I've got a big date to an all-night party. This is really living. If you ever want to know what life's all about, come see me. That is, if Mommy will give you permission. Your old buddy, Joey.
Dear Joey, you sure are lucky. You're only 16 and you're running your own life. Mom and Dad are bothering me more and more all the time. I can't take it much longer. They try to get acquainted with my friends and they always want to know where I'm going, what I'm gonna be home, and what I'm doing. And they won't stop nagging me about getting saved. It seems as though the older I get, the more determined they are to make my life miserable for me. Tomorrow night is Christmas Eve, and I'm sure Mom and Dad are expecting me to go to church with them. Not this year. I'm going to be like you, Joey. I'm going to have some fun for a change. Your friend, Chip.
Charles, where could Chip be? He missed supper, he missed the Christmas Eve service, and it's way past midnight. Can't we do something?
Let's just keep right on praying, Mary. God will take care of our boy.
But we've been praying half the night. What if he's been in an accident and he's hurt? He might need us, Charles.
All right, Mary. I'll call the police and see if they can help us.
Oh, wait, Charles, a car just pulled up out front. Oh, thank goodness you're safe. Are you all right, Chip? We've been so worried.
Of course I'm all right, Mom. Don't be silly.
Chip, where have you been?
Dad, all my friends go where they want to, do what they want to, and stay out as long as they want to. Why do you insist on treating me like a child? Don't you trust me?
Yes, son, we trust you, but we also love you. Why else do you think we'd spend half the night praying for you? Don't you understand?
No, I don't.
Chip, where are you going?
Son, come back here.
I had to get out of the house and let off some steam. The rest of the night, I just walked around town, avoiding any car that looked like it might be Mom or Dad's. I spent Christmas Day in a friend's apartment. And then the day after Christmas, I was the first one in line at the bank, and I withdrew all of my college savings. After I counted my money, I took off running for the bus station.
You're mighty lucky, son. There's just one seat left on that bus. Where are you going for?
Sir, I'm headed for the time of my life.
Well, you're a mighty young man to be going for such a long trip. What's the occasion?
Oh, I'm just going to see an old friend.
Well, it's going to be getting in pretty late tonight. There's going to be someone there to pick you up at the station.
No, but it's okay. I'll take care of it.
Well, okay, here's your ticket. Wow, that's quite a lot of cash you have there.
Oh, I try to keep some on hand for, you know, emergencies and stuff. By the way, where do I catch my bus?
Let's see, your bus leaves from right over there. In fact, it's about ready to pull out now. You better run, son.
Thank you.
Have a good trip.
I'll never forget that trip for as long as I live. After I counted and handled and recounted my money, I just sat back and gazed out the window, dreaming about all that the future had in store for me. No more rules and regulations, no more being ordered around, no more talk about Jesus and being born again and dying to self. Finally, I was getting my chance to live. And as I knocked on the door of a large white house, it had big white pillars, I was impressed.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Chip Parker. You must be Joey's maid.
I beg your pardon, young man?
Doesn't Joey live here?
Joey?
Yeah, Joey Miller. He's about my height with brown hair and...
Oh, that Joey. He's out in the garage.
Oh, is he working on his car?
His car? That little beggar couldn't afford a bicycle, let alone a car, and he wouldn't be staying in our garage if it weren't for my kind-hearted husband. Are you a friend of his?
Sort of.
Well, in that case, I guess you can go out and see him then.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
But don't plan on taking up residence.
Joey? Joey, are you in there?
Well, Chip, where'd you come from?
Turn the flashlight off. I can't see a thing. Is this what you meant by a big, beautiful house?
Well, it's better than nothing. Besides, I didn't expect anyone to pay me a visit. What are you doing here?
Oh, I thought I'd go out and, you know, try living on my own for a while, but I was hoping you could put me up for the night.
Well, I'm sorry, Chip. I'm tired, and there just isn't room.
Well, do you know of any motels nearby?
Motels? Sure, but it'll cost more than you can afford.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've got plenty of money to take care of that.
Oh, you do? Well, on the other hand, you know, I was thinking we could probably take my sleeping bag, spread it out, unzip it, lay it out on the floor, and if we both keep our coats on, I'm sure we'll stay warm tonight.
Okay, do you have anywhere to wash up?
Oh, yeah, I just use that hose outside the back of the garage.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can too then. Do you have anything to dry off with?
Yeah, you can use those shop towels right there off that bench.
Needless to say, Joey's carefree lifestyle wasn't quite as glamorous as I was led to believe it was. And his big money-making job was bagging groceries at a little grocery store. The next morning, I took Joey apartment hunting.
Wow, I've never seen a place like this before. Look at that chandelier.
Wow. Hey, Joey, come look at this. This place even has a sunken bathtub.
Man, I wonder what it'd be like to live in a place like this.
I don't know, but why don't we find out?
What do you mean?
I mean, why don't we move in right now?
Didn't you hear what they said this place cost a month?
I think there's something I ought to show you.
Man, where'd you get all that money?
Don't worry about it. You just go get our stuff, and I'll pay for this month's rent. Then next month, you'll pay half, and I'll pay half.
Well, sounds good to me.
I'll show you what living really is.
On New Year's Eve, we threw our first big parties. I met lots of girls and made friends in a hurry. From then on, it was one party after another. The next few months were everything I dreamed they would be, and more.
Don't anybody be bashful now. There's plenty more to eat and drink.
Wow, Chip, this is our best party yet. You know, you're the best friend a guy could ever have. I didn't know what fun was all about until you came along. And don't worry about all the money I owe you. I've been keeping track. And when I get another job, I'll make sure and pay you back, all right? You're the greatest,
yep,
Chip.
Yep. Kathy, I got another gift for you.
Oh, Chip! It's beautiful! How did you know I needed a watch? You have such good taste. I know you have a lot of other friends, but I hope we can get to know each other much better. You're so much fun to be with.
I began to realize just how much fun I'd been missing out on all those restricted years at home. Why, I was having so much fun, I hadn't even thought about Mom and Dad. Of course, they probably hadn't thought about me either.
Oh, Charles, I'm so glad you're home, dear. It's been awfully lonely around here since you've been gone on these trips. Did you find out anything this time?
Well, after searching all last week and checking with all our friends and relatives, they hadn't seen a Joey either. Chip. I even checked with Joey Miller, remember?
Chip, oh, sure, he used to come over all the time.
Well, after looking all last Wednesday, I finally found him, working in a small grocery store. But he said he hadn't seen Chip either. By the way, were you able to see the doctor this week?
No, I've been feeling a lot better the last few days. It was probably just a virus or something.
We partied all the way through the summer months and into the fall. About November, I began to realize that my money wasn't going to last forever. Joey kept experimenting with drugs and couldn't hold a job. He never did make enough money to help out with any of the expenses. And I only had a part-time job at a car wash. So I decided we were going to have to change apartments and cut down on our spending. After we moved and stopped throwing parties, things began to change. As my money ran out, so did my friends.
Hello, Kathy, this is Chip.
Oh, hi, Chip, how are you?
Oh, good. Hey, listen, I was thinking we could maybe get together and do something tonight.
What did you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know, maybe just get together and watch some television together or something.
Well, I'm really pretty busy tonight. Maybe some other time. Thanks anyway.
Things continue to grow worse and worse. I knew what I had to do, but I didn't get up enough courage until just several days before Christmas.
Joey, I know it's right before Christmas and everything, and this is not really what I wanted to do or to have to do or anything, but I think we're going to have to split up.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean I'm running out of money. Look, here's all I have left.
Well,
and
that looks like quite a bit to me.
I know it looks like quite a bit, but this is only enough to pay for, like, the next 2 months' food and rent. And then we'll both be out on the street begging. Look, I found some job opportunities in the paper. I'll help you find a job.
Well, thanks a lot.
Sorry, it's not what I want to do, but it's what we have to do.
Chip, you awake?
Yeah, I can't sleep either.
You know, I've been thinking, since we're not going to have much longer together, there's a question I've been wanting to ask you for a long time.
What's that?
Why'd you leave home?
I guess because of my parents.
Well, see, I always remember wishing over and over that I had parents like yours. They loved you and took an interest in you and your friends. I remember them asking where you're going or when you'd be home. My parents couldn't have cared less who I ran around with. In fact, it didn't really matter to them where I was going, when I'd be home, or if I'd be home. What was it really about your parents that made you want to leave?
Look, I don't really want to talk about it. Let's just go back to sleep, try to get some rest.
I couldn't answer, because for the first time I realized that the binding restrictions which drew me away from my parents were actually cords of love, which should have drawn me closer to them. I didn't sleep very well that night, and I don't think Joey did either. He seemed to be stirring a lot more than usual. I woke up early, showered, and ate some breakfast.
Hey, Joey, we're going job hunting today. I got some paper clippings right here and a business card in my wallet. And, wait, where's my money? Where's my money? Hey, Joey? Where's my money? Joey? Joey?
It was no use. He was gone, and so was all my money. I looked for him all day, but no one had seen him. That was the last time that I ever saw Joey. As I was walking back to the apartment that night, most of the homes were all lit up, and everyone was in the Christmas spirit but me. About that time, I walked by a family that was out caroling. They threw me a candy cane as they walked by. Then, at one house, I looked through a large picture window, and there was a little boy standing on a chair being fitted with an angel costume by his mother. The memories came flooding back. Then I heard it. It sounded like the Christmas bell, and it was calling me home. For the first time, I realized I wanted to see Mom and Dad, but home was hundreds of miles away, and I was all alone. No friends, no family, no God.
Lord, I want to go home, but
I don't have any money. I don't even have anything of any value. I guess I do have this watch, but not even a pawn shop is open at this time of night. God, I'm at the bottom, and I have nowhere to look but up. Only a miracle, God, could bring me home. I remember hearing in Sunday school that a miracle was something that God did for us that we can't understand and can't be explained by man's reason. Well, here goes.
Oh, sorry, son. Didn't see you standing there. What can I do for you?
Sir, I was wondering, do you ever send anything collect?
Oh, sure. We do it all the time. What would you like to send?
Me.
You?
Yes, sir.
Well, I ain't never sent nobody collect before. Let's see. If you meet the requirements, where are they? Oh, here we go. Says here, must be securely wrapped using only plastic packaging tape. Must be labeled in two places and may not exceed 85 pounds or be larger than 30 by 40 inches. I'm afraid you don't fit the part.
But sir...
Now go on with yourself. I've got work to do. I ain't got no time for small talk.
But I do have this watch.
What do you think this is, a pawn shop? Say, where'd you get that?
I got it from my grandfather right before he died, sir.
And he must have got it from his. Wow, this is an oldie.
Then it's enough to get me a ticket?
Well, it may be worth something to someone, a collector maybe.
Are you a collector?
Nope. But my wife is, and she would sure love me if I come home with a find like this.
Yes, sir, and it's Christmas, too.
Yes. I don't know why I'm doing it.
Yes, sir.
And my boss is going to think I'm plumb crazy when he sees this big fat IOU in the drawer.
Yes, sir.
And again, I still don't know why I'm doing it, but here's your ticket. Bus
Thank you.
From right over there in 10 minutes. You're going to have a couple big layovers tonight, leaving this late at night.
Thank you, sir.
This must really be important to you. What's the occasion?
Sir, I'm going home.
When I got home that night, I knocked on the door, but nobody answered. And then I remembered, it was Christmas Eve, and everyone must be at the church. Since church was only a few blocks away, I took off running, and I got there just in time to slide into a back seat as the service started.
Behold the babe of Bethlehem, by angel host adored. This babe whom mortals shall condemn is heaven's wealth outpoured. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. Behold the babe of Bethlehem, 'tis Jesus Christ the Lord. Behold the youth of Galilee, the child of humble birth, incarnate Son of God is he, his blood has priceless worth. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Behold the youth of Galilee. Christ of Calvary, God's perfect will is done. His blood defeats the enemy. My victory is won. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. Behold the Christ of Calvary, this God's beloved Son. 'Tis God's beloved Son.
Boy, hard to believe that we're at the end of 1981 already, but we welcome you to the Christmas program tonight. We're so glad that you're here, and it's good to see many visitors among us tonight. One of the most beautiful accounts of Christ coming to earth is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The focus of this passage is recognizing what Jesus Christ did for us, but it says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are to have the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, we're not living to do our business. We're not to be living to do what we want to do. If you're saved and you know Jesus, we should be living with the mind of Christ, doing the will of the Father.
In the darkness of the
So this Christmas, never look at a manger without beholding the shadow of the cross. Good night, and God bless you.
Dad! Dad!
Chip, you're alive! Whew, thank God you're safe. We've been worried sick about you.
You were?
Of course we were, son.
Where's Mom? I didn't see her in the choir.
She's not here, Chip.
Well, where is she? I have to see her and let her know I'm all right.
She knows, Chip. She knows. Here, read this. Somehow your mother knew you'd be home for Christmas, and she told me to give you this as soon as I saw you.
Dearest Chip, welcome home, son. A moment has not gone by since you left that my heart hasn't cried out to God, asking Him to bring you home. Home to me and home to God. 3 months after you left, we found out that I didn't have long to live. I pleaded with God to let me live long enough to see your face one more time. About a week before Christmas, the entire church choir came by my hospital room, Christmas caroling. As they sang, I thanked God that Jesus Christ was born to die that I might live. Then the thought occurred to me that maybe God wanted to use my death to bring you to Himself, to be born again. Chip, when you were just 1 day old, your father and I held you in our arms and prayed that you would be saved and serve the Lord with your life. Oh, Chip, I pray that you will ask Jesus to save you and take control of your life. All my love, Mother.
She's dead, isn't she?
No, son. She's alive forevermore. Late last night, your mother woke up and said she heard the Christmas bell ringing, and she was gone. Son, if you want to give your mother the best Christmas gift she's ever had, you'll accept God's free gift of salvation.
I am tired of the pleasure this old world can afford. How I thirst for the fountain that springs forth from the Lord. Though my sin comes to haunt me, nevermore shall I roam. Oh, my soul is worn and weary, I'm going home.
Oh, Father, I've been so wicked and selfish, and I've run from you for so long. God, please forgive me of my sins and save me.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore.
As I follow the path to Calvary,
of thy death I partake. My ambition I forsake. Lord, I give my life to thee.
Now perhaps you can see why Christmas is so special to me. Not only was Jesus born, but I was born too, born to die.
Here we are in 2024. I do want to thank you for coming out, but I want to end with a little bit of a message from the Bible. We look at this whole idea of Jesus Christ and the creator of the universe came. And we look at why he came. He came, he was born to die. But why die? Why did he need to die? He needed to die in order to pay for our sins. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, in understanding Jesus coming to this earth, we have to understand the reason behind it is because we are sinners. The reason behind it is because we have come short of the glory of God. The reason behind it is because our sins have separated between us and our God. We're losing in our society the conviction of sin. We need to get back to the Word of God because the Word of God tells us that we're sinners. The Word of God tells us what the law of God is, and it tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And so because we have transgressed God's law, we are separated from Him. And if we were to die without someone being our substitute, we would be separated from God forever. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That death that it's talking about is talking about hell. See, if there were a way to get rid of our sin and get to God without Jesus dying, it would make absolutely no sense that he died. It would make no sense for him to come to this earth if we could somehow, through some means of our own, through some religion, through some church, or through some effort, if we could get to God, Jesus would not have had to die. But we couldn't. The wages of sin is death. The wages of our sin leaves every one of us on a path, and that path is the path to hell, the path to punishment, the path to separation from God. So Jesus came, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God takes and he demonstrates his love, he commands his love to us in sending Jesus Christ to die for us, one sacrifice forever. And then that verse, once again, it says this, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By his offering, he can present each of us perfect before God. So I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect either. But there was a point in my life, just like Chip, after having gone through that path, remember the seed that was planted when he was a child grew and came to fruition. And he came to that point where he asked Jesus Christ to save him. I understand it's the story of the play, but the message is real. It's the message from the Word of God. Jesus Christ died for you. If you have never realized that you're a sinner on your way to hell and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to save you, I'd encourage you to get saved. To ask Jesus Christ to save you. But in doing that, we have to acknowledge our sin. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It is, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and there's only one hope, and that hope is Jesus. And we turn to Jesus and cry out to be saved. Saved from hell, saved from separation from God, saved from a second death, that is the lake of fire. Asking Jesus to save us, believing that he came, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again in order to pay for our sins. We have many visitors here tonight, which I'm thrilled about. Don't miss the message of the gospel. Jesus died for you. If you have not asked Jesus to save you, I'd encourage you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. In just a moment, the choir is going to sing kind of an invitation-style song. And if you need to ask Jesus Christ, maybe even while they're singing, to save your soul, if you believe that he died for you, if you believe that you're a sinner on your way to hell, and you believe that Jesus died for you, you could call out right where you're at and ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. Now, if you're a Christian, you're born again. If you've been saved, you're born again. Jesus was born to die. God gives us a new birth into his family, but there's a purpose behind that. We die to self. We die to sin. We die to wickedness. And even the picture of baptism says that we're raised to walk in what? Newness of life. See, God doesn't save us just so we can continue our life in sin. Chip had to come back to God and realize, I need Jesus to pay for my sin. But he also realized, boy, the devil paints a pretty picture, doesn't he? The big house with the white pillars. The devil paints a pretty picture. Sin's never pretty. And the end result of sin is never pretty. So I'd encourage you, if you know Jesus Christ, will you live for him? Will you live for him? If you're not saved, will you get saved? Think about it and listen as the choir...